The weasels, I think. The stout-bodied little creatures that the guys in Athens were terrified of. One of them hits the hatch so hard that it breaks away from the stage and rattles across the floor. So much for thinking they lacked strength. Two of them come bursting forth, and upon catching sight of us, come racing our way so swiftly that I can hardly make them out. Henri stands watching with the gun aimed, an amused grin on his face. Their paths diverge, and both leap from about 20 feet away, one jumping at Henri, the other coming at me. Henri fires once, and the weasel explodes and covers him with its blood and guts. And just as I'm about to rip apart the second with telekinesis, it is snatched out of midair by Six's unseen hand and spiked to the ground like a football, killing it instantly. Henri cocks the shotgun.
"Well, that wasn't so bad," he says.
And before I can respond, the entire wall along the stage is smashed in by the fist of a beast. It draws back and punches again, smashing the stage to smithereens and exposing the night sky. The impact pushes both Henri and me backwards.
"Run!"
Henri yells, and he immediately unloads every shell in the shotgun into the beast. They have no effect upon it. The beast leans forward and roars so loudly that I feel my clothes flutter. A hand reaches out and grabs hold of me, turning me invisible. The beast charges ahead, moving straight for Henri, and I'm gripped with terror at what it might do.
"No!"
I scream. "To Henri! Get to Henri!" I twist under Six's grip, finally grabbing hold of her and pushing her away. I become visible. She stays hidden. The beast surges towards Henri, who stands firm and watches it come. Out of bullets. Out of options.
"Get to him!"
I scream again.
"Get to him, Six! Go to the woods!"
she yells back. All I can do is watch. The beast must stand 30 feet tall, maybe 40, towering over Henri. It roars, pure wrath in its eyes. Its muscled and bulging fist rushes high in the air, so high that it breaks straight through the rafters and the roof of the school gymnasium. And then it falls, speeding down with such swiftness that it becomes a blur, like the blades of a spinning fan. I cry out in horror, knowing that Henri is about to be crushed. I can't look away, Henri seeming tiny standing there with the shotgun limply at his side. When the fist of the beast is a split second from him, Henri disappears. The fist crashes through the gymnasium floor, the wood splintering, the impact sending me crashing into the stands 20 feet away. The beast turns to me, blocking from view the place where Henri had just stood.
"Henri!"
I yell. The beast roars so that any response that might have come is drowned out. It takes one step towards me. "To the woods," Six had said. "Go to the woods." I stand and run as fast as I can to the back of the gym where the beast had just broken through. I turn to see if the beast is following. It is not. Perhaps Six has done something to divert its attention. All I know is that I'm on my own now, alone. I leap over the pile of rubble and sprint away from the school, running as hard as I can for the woods. The shadows swarm around me, following like villainous wraiths. I know that I cannot run them. The beast roars, and I hear another wall crumble. I reach the trees, and the swarming shadows seem to have disappeared. I stop and listen. The trees sway under a light breeze. There is a wind here. I have escaped whatever dome the Mogadorians have created. Something warm collects at the waistband of my pants. The cut I suffered at Mark James's has reopened on my back. The school silhouette is faint from where I stand. The entire gymnasium is gone, a pile of brick. The beast's shadow stands tall in the rubble of the cafeteria. Why hasn't it run after me? And where is the second beast we all heard? The beast's fist falls again, another room demolished. Mark and Sarah are there somewhere. I told them to go back, and I realized how foolish it was. I didn't anticipate the beast destroying the school if it knew I wasn't there. I have to do something to get the beast away. I take a deep breath to gather my strength, and as soon as I take that first step, something hard hits me in the back of the head. I fall face first into the mud. I touch where I've been hit, and my hand is covered in blood, drips of it falling from my fingertips. I turn around and see nothing at first, and then it steps out of the shadows and grins. A soldier. This is what they look like. Taller than the scouts. 7, maybe 8 feet tall. Its muscles bulging beneath a black ragged cloak. Large, raised veins traverse the length of each arm. Black boots. Nothing covering its head, and its hair falling to its shoulders. The same pale, waxy skin as the scouts. A grin of self-assurance. Of finality. In one of its hands is a sword. Long and shimmering, made of some kind of metal I've never seen here on Earth, or in my visions of Lorien, and it appears to be pulsing, as if it is somehow alive. I begin to crawl away, the blood dripping down my neck. The beast at the school lets out another roar, and I reach for the low branches of a nearby tree and pull myself up. The soldier is 10 feet away. I grip both hands into fists. It motions the sword nonchalantly towards me, and something comes out of its tip, something that looks like a small dagger. I watch the dagger twist in an arc, leaving a slight trail behind it, like smoke from a plane. The light casts a spell that I can't look away from. A flash of bright light devours everything, the world dimming away into a soundless void. No walls, no sound. No floor or ceiling. Very slowly the shapes of things return. The trees standing like ancient effigies whispering of the world that once was in some alternate realm where only shadows reside. I reach out to feel the nearest tree, the only touch of gray in an otherwise white world. My hand goes through it, and for a moment the tree shimmers as if it were liquid. I take a deep breath. When I exhale, the pain returns to the gash on the back of my head and the tears down my arms and body from the James House fire. A sound of dripping water comes from somewhere. Slowly, the soldier takes form, 20 or 30 feet away. Giant-like. We take each other in, its sword glowing more brightly in this new world, its eyes narrow, and my hands again clench into fists. I've lifted objects far heavier than it. I've split trees and I've caused destruction. Surely I can match its strength with my own. I push everything that I feel into the core of my being, everything that I am, and everything that I will be, until I feel as though I'm about to burst. Yeah! I yell, and I thrust my arms forward. The brute force leaves my body, raging towards the soldier. At the same time, it sweeps the sword across its body as though swatting a fly. The power deflects into the trees, which dance for a brief moment like the grain in a wheat field waving in a light wind, and then they become still. It laughs at me. A deep, guttural laugh meant to taunt. Its red eyes begin to glow. Swirling as though lava filled. It lifts its free hand, and I tense myself against the unknown, and without my knowing what has happened, my throat is in its grip. The gap that had separated us closed in the blink of an eye. It lifts me, one-handed, breathing with its mouth open so that I can smell the sour stench of its breath, the smell of decay. I thrash. Try to pry its fingers from around my throat, but they are like iron. And then it throws me. I land on my back 40 feet away. I stand, and it charges, swinging the sword at my head, which I duck and counter by pushing it as hard as I can. It stumbles back, but stays standing. I try to lift it with telekinesis, but nothing happens. In this alternate world, my powers are dimmed, almost ineffectual. The Mogadorian has the advantage here. It smiles at my futility and raises